We'll hear how amateur radio has impacted two more successful hams in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report, the weekly podcast of the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. When one thinks of a new job or career change, ham radio isn't necessarily the first idea that pops into the mind of many as a possible lead to gainful employment. You'd be surprised, however, how many have. Last week we heard the career stories of the late Steve Mendelson, W2ML, and Bob Heil, K9EID, both of whom credit their involvement in amateur radio early on as contributing significantly to their professional careers. In this second excerpt from the Newsline Town Hall meeting held during the 2010 Dayton Hamvention, we'll hear the stories of Rich Moseson, W2VU, the editor of CQ Magazine, and Bob Sherman, K2SJT, a retired aircraft radio engineer. The forum chair was the late co-founder of the amateur radio newsline, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
We got another guy who also started CBS, but in a different capacity, just called the creative end of the business. From that beginning, he started a career which brought him into being the editor of one of the best-known ham radio magazines around, CQ Magazine. He'll tell you his story, and we'll explain to you how ham radio helped guide him. Rich Moseson, W2VU.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad that Bill brought up the fact that I'm not on the technical side of things, because both Steve and Bob have technical careers that are based on ham radio, and I have a non-technical career that's based on ham radio. So it's important to realize that the ability of ham radio to help you in your career is not limited to technical careers. But I need to start out, it's in the genes of an editor, to make a couple of corrections in my introduction and in the bio that Bill used in the program. Having the whole story is important to what we're talking about today. Ham radio has not helped me just get my two most recent jobs at CBS and CQ. It's been very helpful in virtually every job I've had since high school. At minimum, it gave me a little edge in getting started, and that's what it can do for you as well. Back when I was in high school, the school started a community internship program, and it was my junior year, and it was my involvement in the ham radio club in school that put me at the head of the line for the one internship we had at the local AM radio station, because as far as the teacher who was running that program was concerned, radio was radio and didn't matter. So that internship led me to a part-time job at the station, which led me to journalism school and a couple of jobs in radio news, where understanding the technical side of things was a great help, especially in terms of convincing the hams in engineering that something really needed to be fixed. And yes, I had checked to make sure it was plugged in. By the end of the 1970s, I found myself working at the Associated Press in New York on the national radio and TV wire, and periodically hauling my shortwave receiver into the newsroom during hurricane season to get first-hand reports from 14300 on what was going on in the hurricane areas and get those out on the wire before anybody else had them. While I was there, I worked a lot of overnights, and once in a while would drive my car to work in New York City. On the way home, I would talk on 2 meters with people who were just coming into work. One morning, I heard two guys talking, and it was obvious from their conversation that they both worked at CBS. And I joined the conversation and told them what I did. Off and on, we chatted over the next couple of months. Then one morning, about 10 o'clock, my phone rang, woke me up, because I'd been working 4 to midnight. A voice on the other end said, Rich, this is Joel, WA2FFI. Did I wake you up? And I said, well, yeah. He said, well, I'm not calling on ham radio stuff. I'm calling on CBS business, so I'm not sorry. I said, I'm awake. So we produce a news program for kids here called In the News. And we need somebody as an assistant producer who can write quickly and write well. Are you interested? I said, well, yeah, but I don't have any experience in television. I've only worked in radio. He says, well, you can learn. So I went for an interview, and this is where the ham radio card came back into play. Anybody who's been on a job interview knows it can be a very intimidating thing. But I came in on a first-name basis with the guy who was doing the interview. And we already had the icebreaker for the conversation talking about ham radio. And then he spent a half hour telling me all the reasons why I shouldn't take the job, and when he didn't talk me out of it, he hired me. And then the ham radio connection began to work the other way, because, as I just mentioned, I had no television experience. In the News was produced with what's called library footage, stuff that has been shot for other stories by other people and put in the library. If I was going to move up in television news, I needed to get some experience with field producing, actually going out with a camera crew, shooting the pictures, putting stuff together. Well, working at CBS, stuff with Mr. Mendelson over here, who's playing with his iPod, and he was an engineer at CBS at the time. And getting to know Steve got me hooked up with Ms. Pasternak over here, who in the mid-1980s was producing a video for the ARRL called The New World of Amateur Radio. Bill asked me if I could go to Washington to produce a segment for the program with Ohio's own Senator John Glenn at the U.S. Senate ham radio station, W3USS. I said to Bill, but I've never done any field producing. And he said, so you'll learn. So I did. That experience helped me be able to move up in my job at CBS. Assignments came up that required me to very quickly get up to speed on topics that I didn't know a whole lot about, such as healthcare and education. I had to learn about them pretty quickly. Around the same time, I got to know CQ publisher Dick Ross, K2MGA, when we worked together on the Archie Ham Radio comic book project. I don't know how many of you remember that. We kept in touch, and I even wrote an occasional article for CQ. And when I left CBS in 1992, Dick hired me at CQ to produce some instructional videos. Another job through Ham Radio Connection. And when we launched CQ VHF magazine in 1996, Dick asked me to be the editor. And I said, but I don't know how to produce a magazine. The pictures don't move. He said, so you'll learn. You should be getting used to this by now. Well, I'm still learning new stuff every day, not only about what's going on in the world of ham radio, but about things like electronic publishing, which we've been educating ourselves about with World Radio Online, and social networking, getting active on Facebook and making that work for us. So how does this tie into ham radio, and how can my experience help you to get a job? Well, the main tie-in is this, the ham radio mindset. Our focus in ham radio is making things work, getting on the air regardless of what's going on around us or what obstacles we face. We tend to be very practical and pragmatic people. We're willing to think outside the box, bend the rules if necessary, learn new things, make things work. People who can think creatively to solve problems can be very valuable employees, and it should work to your benefit to a current or potential employer how you can contribute to the bottom line by your ham radio inspired way of thinking. Another benefit of ham radio in the job market is social networking. LinkedIn and Facebook are fine. I'm active on both, but ham radio is really the original social networking tool. Ham come from all walks of life and occupy all levels of responsibility in various businesses and industries. And ham radio is a very egalitarian society, so we all consider each other peers. We're all on a first-name basis with each other. I don't know how many of you read my editorial where I talked about a contact in the ARRL DX contest with Papa 40 Nancy in Aruba. Is this Rich? Asked the ham on the other end. This is Scott, K0DQ. Ed's right next to me. Steve already blew their cover. Scott is a retired vice admiral, fleet commander. You left out that he was also briefly the interim vice president of Iraq, the staff director for the Iraq Weapons of Mass Destruction Commission, and the first director of the National Counterterrorism Center. But that does don't matter. Right. Well, as far as Ed goes, you were a little off on that. He wasn't the assistant to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Ed and Scott together were largely responsible for modernizing the technology that the military uses today, and their fellow hams. Now, on the ham bands, they're just Scott and Ed. Where else but in ham radio can you make such contacts with a contact? No matter what field you're in, there are hams out there who share your professional interests and who can become valuable contacts, not only for QSL cards, but for jobs as well. There's an instant personal connection. And one important note, ham radio or any other sort of networking can only help you get your foot in the door. In today's job market, though, getting in the door is half the battle, getting the interview. And that's where your ham radio connections can help. My career has been and continues to be one big learning experience. The process doesn't end. And now I'm learning from Don that I'm out of time. So thank you. And remember these three words that have been very helpful to me in my career. So I'll learn.
The thoughts and observations of Rich Mosesen, W2VU, editor of CQ Magazine. Next, we'll hear from Bob Sherman, K2SJT. He'll be introduced by the late co-founder of the Amateur Radio Newsline, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. The Rain Report is available for transmission over amateur radio under a Creative Commons license from therainreport.com, now tablet and mobile phone friendly, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and via iTunes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Most of you people have never heard the name Bob Sherman or the call at K2SJP unless you work Bob on the air. Bob and I grew up together in Brooklyn. Met when we were both about 15 or 16 years old on 6 meters AM. That was where the kids hung out. Kids in those days were really not wanted on the HF band. If you couldn't do 20 words a minute more, you weren't wanted on the HF band. So the kids, we were up on 6 meters, 50.4, and it was like the calling frequency. You knew you could find your friends. And one of the friends I made early on was Bob Sherman, K2SJP. Our careers went in diverse directions. We lost track of each other for many years, and just, I think it was here at Dayton, wasn't it, where we ran into each other, and it was like, "Way, where have you been the past 35 years or so?" And we've been in touch ever since. Bob had an interesting career. Just what happened to you when you worked most of your career for a company, you're getting ready to retire, and the company goes away? Bob Sherman, K2SJP, another Brooklyn boy.
I'm Bob, K2SJP. 1958, Bill and I met on 6 meters. We lived in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, New York. Lived right near each other and became good pals. I was 15 and you were 16 years old. 6 meters was great. I lived in a big apartment building, and you know what Channel 2 was like with 6 meters in those days. So all my neighbors just loved me. I got an old RCA V-beam. I extended the elements, got a rotor, and put it up on top of the six-story building in Shorehaven in Brooklyn. We had a ball on 6 meters. Thanks to Bill, my interest peaked and I found a whole new group of friends locally. We used to get together every Sunday, have a 6 meter bunny hunt in Brooklyn, and we'd go bowling and go have lunch together. Big group of guys, including Hank right there with the railroad cap, K2SSQ, and Mort, WA2ARS. Mort was a real character. He was a Brooklyn police officer, a big prankster. And when I was 18, my neighbor sold me my first car for $75, an old 57 Ford Fairlane 500. I put a Saturn 6 Halo on it, and I had a Sixer in the car, and I used to talk to the guys from the car with an old Saturn 6 Halo. My car could be spotted a mile away. Well, one day on the main highway in Brooklyn, the Bell Parkway, I'm driving along, I'm in lane, I'm within my speed limit, and the police car has got his siren coming after me, pulling me over. I said, "Son of a gun, what the heck did I do?" So I open my window, and the police officer comes up to me. I couldn't see who he was. He goes, "License and registration." I says, "Well, what did I do?" I says, "I'm just driving along." He's giving me your license and registration. I look up, and who was it but Mort, WA2ARS. And he was just standing there dying laughing at me. And me, my heart was beating like crazy because I was a new driver and I never got a ticket before. So I didn't get one then. That's the fun we used to have in ham radio. Ham radio is just great. There are so many different aspects of ham radio that you can never get bored with it. Bill moved to California. I moved down to Tampa, Florida. We always stayed in touch since we met back here in Dayton. I've met and learned from countless number of hams, both over the air and in getting together. I studied for my general, my extra class license, got on HF, having the fun of my life working DX and meeting more people. I've always found ham radio, with all its many facets, to be a great hobby. So many, in fact, took me over 50 years to get on 160 meters, become an ARRLVE, and have fun on ham TV. You never get bored with it. If you don't like one thing, go to another. It's just wonderful. It helped me pick up my trade in aircraft electronics. I went for an interview with Pan American World Airways at Kennedy Airport. I was a graduate of RCA Institutes in New York City and had gone to George Westinghouse Radio and Television High School in Brooklyn. Didn't seem to care about that too much. When I listed my ham radio license, the girl that was interviewing me peeked up and she says, "You're a ham operator?" I says, "Oh yeah, I've been a ham operator for several years now." And she says, "We need you." And I spent 25 years in Pan American World Airways, right to the day of their demise in December 1991. Pan Am ceased operations, and I actually was in the top 7% of seniority in avionics and stayed on with them after their demise for several months, where we collected the aircraft all over the world. I brought them back to Miami and to JFK and performed final avionics services on them before they were put up for sale. Pan Am was a great airline. I traveled the world with my family and learned so many new things about different cultures all over the globe. This thanks to Pan Am and ham radio. That just goes to show you how important that ham radio license is. It's a very important thing, and a lot of people take it for granted. You should wear that badge. You should show that license. You should list it on your resume. You'd be surprised. The guy on the other side might just be a ham also. The airline industry was saturated with displaced workers from both Pan Am and from Eastern Airlines, who had gone under several months before we did. It was very difficult to land a airline job again, but I persevered, and after being on unemployment for about a year, I landed an avionics job with Tower Air. They had just purchased all the Pan Am 747, so I was in my glory. I was back working on the same aircraft I've been working on for years. Unfortunately, Tower Air went out of business 3 years after I went on with it. Then I went on with McDonnell Douglas in Miami, servicing DC-8 aircraft for Arrow Air, but that lasted a few weeks before they had all the subworkers laid off. From there, I got on with ValueJet in Atlanta, but I was really trying to get on with a great, stable company, working again in my field of avionics. I stayed on with ValueJet a few months and landed avionics supervisor, a position at FedEx in Memphis. It was really worrying, since every company I went with went belly up. I says, I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, but I'm glad I went to FedEx. I spent 11 years at FedEx. I just retired from FedEx about a year and a half ago at 65 years old. I used to commute back and forth. I live in Tampa, and I'd fly the jump seat on the FedEx airplane back to Tampa. Spent a couple of days with my family and fly the jump seat on back to Memphis. Well, after 9 months, I got very bored after retirement from FedEx. I heard that Southwest Airlines in Tampa was coming in for avionics and maintenance services. I got hired and got on with them for 6 months. Unfortunately, Southwest Airlines, a lot of people probably don't know it, has moved their maintenance to Guadalajara, Mexico, and they laid everybody off. I'm out about a year now, and I'm getting very bored and very antsy, so I'm hoping to get on with either United Airlines or JetBlue in September. There's a possibility that they will be doing some maintenance in Tampa. I'm too old to start commuting anymore, so I'm going to be staying in the Tampa area. If I get a job, fine. If I don't, I don't. Then I'll have been retired. I worked a total of 43 years in avionics, less than 1 year of unemployment that I was on. I was literally the oldest employee at Southwest in Tampa with 200 employees. No age discrimination, actually a lot of respect for all my avionics background. Yes, it's in my blood. All this thanks to ham radio. To the old timers that have had similar experiences, you understand where I'm coming from. And to the newcomers, all I can say is this is one of the best choices that I have ever made in my life. I know all you young newcomers, the ham radio hobby can really influence your life, as you see it has mine. So stay with ham radio, enjoy the hobby, but use your license towards good employment in the future. Let ham radio help you in your job.
And that concludes our excerpts from the Newsline Town Hall meeting held at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention. If you missed our first excerpt that featured the late Steve Mendelson, W2ML, and Bob Heil, K9EID, you'll find both Part 1 and this Part 2 on the archive page on therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2017 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com, now tablet and mobile phone friendly, on Twitter @TheRainReport, and somewhere buried in iTunes. Keep on hamming!